This summer's TV offerings include the popular TNT series Rizzoli and Isles, which is now in its third season. The show stars Angie Harmon as Jane Rizzoli, a Boston police detective who solves murders along with medical examiner Maura Isles, played by Sasha Alexander. Jane and Maura are close friends, which means that Dr. Isles's autopsies can include dishing along with the detective work.
Few pinpoint petechial hemorrhages could indicate asphyxia.
So he was suffocated?
No airway obstruction or external indication of strangulation.
Hello? Cause of death?
Do you think Lieutenant Grant is sexy? You know, in a male kind of way?
Do you like him?
Jane Rizzoli and Maura Isles are the creation of best-selling author Tess Gerritsen. She's written over 20 books, including 9 Rizzoli and Isles mysteries. The most recent one, The Silent Girl, has just been released in paperback. Jane and Maura are called to investigate a corpse that's turned up in Boston's Chinatown. Joined by Chinese-American detective Johnny Tam, the duo encounter a female martial arts master, as well as the Monkey King, a mysterious figure seemingly straight out of a Chinese fable, who navigates rooftops and fire escapes like a character out of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. As Tess Gerritsen says, Boston's Chinatown is a ripe setting for a murder case with mystical overtones.
A really horrible shooting occurred here in 1907. 5 Chinese men were killed right in this area. You know, Chinatown to me is interesting because of its history and because of its ghosts. You know, my mother believes in ghosts. She saw ghosts in China. I've never seen one. I'm always looking for one. But I always think that in Chinatown, if you're going to find one, it's going to be in the oldest parts.
Here and Now producer Emiko Tamagawa sat down with Tess Gerritsen in Chinatown to talk about The Silent Girl when the book was first published. As she told Emiko, it's the first Rizzoli and Isles book that explores Gerritsen's Chinese roots.
I'm third generation Chinese on my father's side, and I spent my whole childhood wanting to be American, denying my Chinese heritage. What's unusual is that my son, who's now fourth generation Chinese on my side, is now in Shanghai, desperate to learn Mandarin.
You know, you talk about in the afterword to this book that this is very personal to you because your mother had told you lots of stories of the Monkey King and other Chinese stories.
Yes.
Why do you think it took you so long to sort of go back into this personal memory?
Early on when I was writing, I started off in romantic thrillers. I had an editor tell me that those books that were romances that had Asian characters in them always did very poorly in the marketplace. So I avoided it because I thought, you know, I'm trying to build a career as a writer. Maybe this is not a good time. Now it's 23 books later. I have some, you know, hit TV series, and I have 2 characters who are very popular. Maybe it's time to go back to my Chinese roots. And so I introduced a detective named Johnny Tam, who's a Chinese-American detective, and he's brought into the case of a murder in Chinatown. And I also introduced somebody who I am very attached to, a middle-aged woman who is a martial arts master with a studio in Chinatown.
Did you worry at all about, I don't know, perpetuating stereotypes, as it were, or the mysterious East kind of thing?
I had a reviewer say, isn't this a stereotype? And I think, no, this is from my childhood. I grew up learning and reading and hearing about women warriors. It is part of Chinese culture. And I mention in the book a very famous Chinese general, a woman who was master of the double sword, who led 1,000 Chinese soldiers against the Japanese pirates who were invading in the 1500s, I think it was. So there is a tradition of women warriors. There are myths about it. It's very popular in Chinese culture. So, yeah, maybe it has turned Hollywood a little bit, but there's some reality there.
Do you think now that you've sort of incorporated this Chinese-American character into, you know, this particular series, you might continue to keep him? I mean, it just sort of bring in sort of more of your stories?
I love Johnny Tam, and I think he will be there, and maybe not in the next book, but in the books to come. I like the fact that Jane and Johnny have a bond, and they also have a similarity in that they're both outsiders. They both had problems being established, being accepted, and that in itself is going to make Jane like Johnny a lot more.
Just to underline that, because Jane is female and in a male-dominated department, and Johnny is Asian, and he's the only Asian person there.
Yes, and Johnny expresses a lot of the feelings that I have about being Asian-American. And we were only 4.5% of the American population. We're extremely visible. Anything that is done bad that by an Asian, we all feel sort of collective shame about, or collective guilt. Whenever something is a terrible crime, we sort of cringe and say, please don't let it be an Asian American who did that. And Johnny expresses that. I think it's something that people who are not minorities don't understand.
In the meantime, you know, sort of the central characters who go through your series are Jane Rizzoli and Maura Iles, and they're sort of two different faces of Boston.
Yeah, Jane Rizzoli is a homicide detective. She comes from blue-collar background. She's a little scruffy. She's very determined. And then you have Dr. Maura Iles, who is a forensic pathologist, a typical professional, a medical professional who comes from a well-to-do family. They would not be friends in any other universe except that they work together. And it's very important for them to trust each other, and their friendship is based on regard and mutual respect.
The TNT series, Rizzoli and Iles, in a way, you have the framework. You have the difference in class. You know, Jane, at one point, and so there's this one scene where she brings a fluffernutter, you know, marshmallow fluff and peanut butter sandwich, and Maura Iles has never tasted it before. It's like, what is this?
What is that white substance?
Fluff.
Light, downy particles of cotton?
It's marshmallow. And the brown substance is called peanut butter. It's ground up, heavy, oily particles of peanuts. What, they didn't have that in your fancy boarding school? Well, it's really good.
The television show has focused almost entirely on the friendship between the two women, and it has increased the contrast between them. It's a little different from the books. I had to get used to the fact that Jane Rizzoli is now beautiful and Angie Harmon, which is quite a change. But what matters is that it's bringing people to the books. It's having them read the stories that the TV show is based on, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, what author wouldn't want that?
I'm noticing in the books, Maura Iles in particular has a dark family history. I watch the TV show and I almost think, do they want to go in that direction at some point or do they not? I mean, what do you think?
I think the direction in the books is very, very dark. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that on television. The books are quite a bit more grim and quite a bit more intense, with not the humor that you'll see on the TV show. It's up to the executive producer and what she plans to do with it. I think right now they've got a very winning formula, and they may be sticking to that.
But you do have some involvement in the TV show. You do something for the web for them. Is that the sort of, as we move into like the 21st century, to have a television show is, as you say, any author's dream. But in a way, it also creates sort of new responsibilities for you. You can create web content and you can, you know, lots of tie-ins. I mean, it's sort of a different world there.
The old days, you could just write a book. Now you have to have a Facebook page, you have to Twitter, you have to have a web page. It's more of a time waster to do these other things, and we should be focusing on our stories. Unfortunately, it's a fact of life now.
How do you see, I mean, because, you know, we're really talking about, you know, Jane Rizzoli and Maura Iles in your books, too. I mean, you've written 9 of these. I mean, you sort of moved into this direction. I mean, is this what you sort of see yourself doing? I mean, is adding a new detective like Johnny Tam like enough to sort of keep it interesting for you?
I never say never when it comes to what am I going to write in the future. I have written an historical. I've written a science fiction novel. So I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's been my career pretty much throughout. I just do what I feel like writing. I mean, I find an idea and I run with it.
Rizzoli and Iles creator Tess Gerritsen speaking to Here and Now producer Emiko Tamagawa last August. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov. Robin Young will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.